This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, two teams battling. We shot 31%, they shot 33%. It was a dogfight, and, you know, that's the second time in a row we've come off bye weeks and just haven't played overly well. So this is all on me.
That's Kevin Willard acknowledging that maybe he doesn't get these guys ready when they have extra time off. It was a rock fight last night. Great atmosphere. Kudos to the students. Kudos to everybody at the Xfinity Center last night. The atmosphere was incredible, but the Terps, they only scored 23 points in the first half, up 23-21. That's incredible in and of itself. They lose to Michigan State on a half-court heave, 58-55.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure lessons learned from this. I'm sure watching that video today as a team was probably pretty difficult. This is a club that had been playing at a truly elite clip, efficiently, offensively, and when they really needed to, in games defensively. And they just never really looked comfortable in their own skin in this one. It was Izzo's kind of a ball game from start to finish. The extra time off, did it factor, didn't it? I mean, okay. They shot 29% from the floor in the first half, and they shot 35% in the second half. So, I mean, it improved, but it was still a problem. No one outside of Rodney Rice really distinguished themselves. The environment was unbelievable, a crazy atmosphere. You could literally feel the ground shaking under your feet, sitting on the floor. But it's not like it had these guys playing anything close to a B game, let alone an A game. They fought hard. They showed guts. They were tenacious. They didn't play their smartest ball game. Jacoby Gillespie couldn't get anything going from the floor. They turned it over more than they would like. Not that 11 is an egregious number, but some critical turnovers. They just never got in any sort of offensive flow or rhythm. They were beat up bad on the offensive glass. They were beat up in the paint. And they were just kind of... I mean, they never took this game by the throat. They never... There was no stretch of that game where you're like, they're the more talented team, which they were, and it's showing. It just never really manifested.
Played
itself.
Michigan State style. They're like, styles make fights. We talked about it before the game at the Maryland Club yesterday, Jason. Whose style is going to win out? Maryland likes to get up and down. Michigan State likes to muck it up. Well, they mucked it up.
Yeah, and Maryland had five fast break points. They could never get out in transition, and you have to credit Michigan State for their transition defense as well. But it was a poor night for the offense to have their worst game of the season, because that was their lowest scoring output of the season, 55 points. And outside of Rodney Rice's second half, none of the starting five really distinguished themselves. It looked like Derek Queen was too amped up for this game. We heard Kevin Willard pretty much say as much. And Julian Reese, he never got anything going inside.
I think Gillespie, the physicality bothered both of them.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. And Jacoby Gillespie, he was off all night. You credit him for hitting some free throws late in that game, but he was off all night. Miguel picked up fouls early. It was just all out of sorts.
Well, and how many times was the shot clock down to 7 seconds or less in the half-court offense and nothing had materialized yet? You know, like, there's one thing where they score on the run and they get the transition threes and they get the long outlet passes, one pass, and it's a wide open wing three. There's that element that you thought might not be there because of the way Izzo's team played. But then there's just the other element of guys moving quickly and decisively off the ball, and it's one pass, two pass, and somebody's trying a backdoor, or somebody at least is cutting towards the hoop, and maybe you pick up a foul, or there just was none. There was none of that. There was no semblance of offensive flow or rhythm. And when they did make their late run, it was because they started doing some of that, not that it was showing up from the floor. It was just getting them to the line.
Yeah.
Let's hear more from Kevin Willard. And we talked earlier about Jacoby Gillespie and that last shot. And did he shoot it too soon? Like, was he paying attention to the clock? Well, Willard was asked about the shot selection.
You always want to make sure you get the last shot. But again, that's something that, you know, he came down, pushed it. You know, maybe if he waits, he doesn't get an open look. You know, and I trust Kobe. He's been great all year. At the end of the day, kid still had to hit a 60-footer to beat you. So, yes, do you want him to take the last shot? Absolutely. But it's not like he took it at 6 seconds and Hollerman was able to dribble up and get a layup. So would I have liked him to wait one more second? Sure. Kid still had to hit a 60-footer to beat us.
So, yeah, there are a couple things at play here. Number one, you probably want to wait another second because if he misses and he doesn't miss it as badly as he does, you might have a shot at a tip-in. But taking it with 4.8 seconds left gave the perfect storm opportunity to Michigan State to throw up the heave, and it went in.
Well, we're sitting under the goal that he's racing towards, and we could see the whole thing sort of literally coming at us. And from the moment he retrieved the ball in the corner, He looks sped up to me from the giddy up. Like, I'm sitting there saying, like, I don't think he realizes how much time he has. And he kind of, it looked like a one cut and run running back where he almost had tunnel vision. You could see him sprinting right towards us. It looked like he was sprinting to a spot to pull up from that spot and shoot. Like, he almost sort of had made up his mind from the moment he got that loose ball. It looked to me like a guy who thought he had five or six seconds to make all this happen and not closer to 11. The inner clock looked off from the getty up, and it kind of was. And not that he took the worst shot in the world by any stretch of the imagination, and not that it didn't look like it had a real chance to go in, but he was a little manic, a little hyper.
Yeah.
And even just another second or two to pick your head up and see if there was anything else available may have helped.
Or drive.
In the end, I still feel like they were kind of lucky to even get that opportunity.
But they got there.
They got there. But
not only did they tie it up, Jason, but they had the ball. Like, they were able to create that opportunity. Sometimes that happens.
They hung around. They gave themselves a chance. But I don't think they were the smarter team. I don't think they ever really made Michigan State uncomfortable. The crowd at times made Michigan State uncomfortable. But I didn't feel like Maryland's press got to them that much. An instance here or there. I just don't think this team is going to win a whole lot of ball games when one guy makes more than three shots from the field.
I will echo that sentiment. You can't win basketball games if nobody.
This team certainly.
No. They play Penn State on Saturday. That's a noon tip. Pregame coverage starts at 11 right here on 105.7 The Fan. But we switch to baseball next. What does Tim Kirchen think of the Baltimore Orioles heading into this season? Covers the MLB for ESPN, and he joins us next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.